Turn with me this morning in your Bible to Psalm 78, would you please? This last Sunday of the year, we usually have a look back and a look forward, back to 2019 and forward to 2020. It's important, as we've learned here, we've studied this many times in the past, but it's very important for us to recall what God has done, to remember. How many times do we pray and then God answers our prayer and we forget we prayed about that? And we just kind of move on through life and God answers prayer and we think, oh, yeah, he did do that. It's good for us to recount. The word remember in the Bible is in the Bible over 300 times. Why do you think God puts that word in there so many times? Because we tend to forget. We tend to forget. And so recounting what he's done is very important, and not only important for us, but it's important for what God wants to do in the people coming after us, the next generation. It says here in Psalm 78, "Give ear, O my people, to my teaching, and incline your ears to my word, the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, and that our fathers have told us, and we will not hide them from their children, but tell the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done." It's for the benefit of the next generation to know the wonders he's done. In Judges, it says, sadly, there was a generation, the group after Joshua, who did not know the Lord nor the things that he had done. And therefore, they gave themselves to the culture and the false idols, and they walked away from God. Very important for us to pass on the legacy of what God has done, right? So this morning, we're going to look at one of the great things that God has done this last year, and that's baptism. God gives us a commission as a church. We have our marching orders. This is what we need to be about. Jesus said, go therefore and do what? Make disciples of all nations, and then what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then what? Teaching them to obey all that Jesus has commanded us. So that's our call. We want to see people come to Christ and grow in Christ. We want to see people give their life to the Lord, as Hal was saying this morning, embracing him as Lord and Savior. And then what? Then we begin to grow in our knowledge of God and what he wants to do in my life. 2020. What do you think about when you think of 2020? Perfect sight, right? Perfect sight. Clear vision. That's going to be a theme for us all this coming year. Clear vision. Being able to see. Vision means to see. Biblically, it means to see what God sees. To see God. To see who he is and what he's done in for me by his grace, by his presence in my life, and to see what he wants to do through my life. Turn with me to another passage, to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19, verse 18. That's not the one I was looking for. Is it 18, 19? Anyway, it says, the verse I'm looking for, I'll quote. I was going to read it, but I don't have to read it. It says, "For the lack of vision, people perish." That's the one I'm looking for. So you can find it for me. But for lack of vision, and that word perish in the Hebrew means to let loose or to cast off restraints. For lack of vision, people perish. People will cast off restraints. Why? Because if we can't see what God wants to do in my life, why should I discipline myself? What's the reason for me to have any kind of self-denial or change my priorities or anything? If there's no goal, if there's nothing I'm shooting for, what's the use? And sad to say, there are some Christians, nobody in this room, but there are some Christians who lack vision. So they're just kind of plodding along every day, just kind of not being proactive, but being reactive to life, not really planning to move forward in God in any way, just kind of meandering along. And God has so much more for us than that. Vision, to see. In Psalm 119, God tells us, a wonderful prayer, and I think it's a prayer for this coming year. Open my eyes. Oh God, open my eyes that I might see the wondrous things out of your law. Open my eyes to see. In Psalm 119, also a little farther down, it says, God, turn my eyes from worthless things. Help me to behold your law. You know, when God turns our eyes from worthless things, it doesn't mean evil things, it doesn't say, or bad things. These are just things we get involved in that really have nothing to do with our walk with God or our progression in the Lord or our ministry to other people. They're just worthless things. And how many of us know we get caught up in a lot of worthless things here on earth? So turn my eyes away from that, Lord. Another thing that I'm going to piggyback on what Hal said here. The Bible says if any man is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. Everything that God creates has a purpose. Everything in this world, everything in this universe, every person that he creates nothing without purpose. God doesn't waste time at all. Everything he creates. And so if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, right? And then there's an important word right there. And behold, all things have become new. That word behold means to see. Behold, there are new things for me now. This is a new year, and we're going to be talking about this all year. I am so excited about 2020 because I think for many Christians, what God wants in our life is going to come into focus. And we're going to be filled with His Spirit and filled with so much joy, as we're going to see here in just a second, because this is what God wants in our life. Without vision, we cast off restraint. There's no reason to try to live my life in a way that honors God. In Grand County, we have a lot of people up here who exercise, and I have many of you have run marathons, and we have some triathloners in here. We have one that trains for the Olympics in our church. And if you talk to them, if you want to get a medal in a marathon and you've got a goal to do that, that changes what you do, right? Changes how you eat, changes how you exercise. You are more disciplined. You have to deny yourself some things in order to be the best you can when you run that marathon, right? And how you spend your money and how you spend your time because you're focused on a goal, all right? Well, this is a parallel for Christianity. If we aim at nothing, we're sure to hit it, okay? What's our goal? What does God want in our life? Behold, all things have become new. So that's what I'm feeling as we approach this coming year, is that God would give us vision. Help us to see, Lord. Help us to understand what you've done in my life and all that you've given me so that I can fulfill your plan for what you want to do in my life. And God is a God of vision. I was just reading this morning. I'm finishing up the Bible in Revelation 19, verse 10. It says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It is the word. And so as we look at Jesus' life, and we're going to be doing that this coming year, Jesus imparted vision. When he went by the Sea of Galilee and found these fishermen, and he said, follow me, and then he said something very important. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So he implanted vision to them. They were no longer going to just fish for fish. Now they would be involved in other people's lives, and Jesus would model that all his life here on earth. They would observe him, and then he was passing that baton to them so that they would continue to minister like he did. They would have compassion on people. They would look for needs to be met. They would give their lives to the work of the Lord during their short time here on earth. And even when Peter tried to go back to fishing, what did Jesus say? Nope, mid-course correction. Remember, that's not what I want you to do anymore, because now you're mine. Now I want you to glorify me. See, in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, we are not our own. We were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your bodies. Life is no longer about us when we come into Christianity. It's about what God wants to do through me to touch other people. I'll give you one illustration before Samuel comes up. Years ago, we don't know what a year is going to hold, but for many of us here, God may be challenging you to trust him, to stretch out into areas you've never stretched out in before, to be involved in ministry and in people's lives like you've never done before. You know, are we open to the Lord? For some, we're doing what God wants us to do. We've made commitments and we know that he is blessing, and so we need to continue that this coming year. But for others, I know of several Christians who are saying, I don't know what God wants to do in my life. I'm praying this year he will implant vision, clear vision, 2020, to see what God wants to accomplish in our lives. Years ago, when we were in Aurora, Colorado, some of you know this story, many of you don't, but we went into that year, into that winter time, and it was in the mid-80s, and there was a great recession in our country. And in Denver and Aurora, there were many people that were really struggling with making bills and even food. So we had a person come to us from a large Christian food ministry in Denver, and they said, can you guys give us a place to start a food bank up here because there's so many people that have needs, we need to give them food. And we were meeting, our church at that time was meeting in a shopping mall. We didn't have any extra rooms. And so my wife and I were saying, Lord, how are we going to help? God began to touch our hearts with the needs that were around us. And so God spoke to me one day and he said, Doug, you have a garage. Yes, I have a garage. Well, you can run a food bank in your garage. So have you ever been in these conversations with God? But Lord, that's for my car. That's my garage. My wife, she didn't care about my garage, but for a guy, garages are important. You know, I got my tools in my garage. You know, I got all kinds of stuff in my garage. I got lumber in my garage. I got tires. I have 4 storm doors in my garage because I had storm doors that kids were breaking all the time. I always had one to put back up there. You know, I'm planning, not my garage. And then Marty, my wife, bless her heart, she goes, Doug, we can do this. So I said, okay, Lord. So I went to the church and I said, you know what? God's spoken to us. We need to run a food bank out of our garage. And if anybody shows up this coming Saturday, I will give you anything in my garage if you'll help me build some shelves. We had a great turnout. And guys were taking tires and lumber and hoses and doors. And Doug, are you sure? Get it. I can't. No, I don't have any room for it. Take it. They drove their pickup trucks in there. And we built all these shelves. We were given a nice big refrigerator, a chest freezer. And for 3.5 years, we ran a food bank out of our garage. And the way we did that was that people would show up every Saturday. We got names of needy families in the Aurora area and how many people were in those families. And every Saturday morning, we would fill up boxes of food and deliver them to the people. That was so powerful because we got to see their homes. We got to see other needs. Prayed for several people to give their lives to Christ. Stirred people up to start coming back to church again. We did that. My children saw ministry taking place. They got involved. When people came, we had sheets of how many in a family, here's how many boxes, here's how many dried food, here's how much meat. We had restaurants giving us meat, and all we did was run that food bank right outside of our little garage. Who knows what God has for you this year? That got us into an area of ministry we'd never thought we'd be involved in before, and it brought so much joy to our lives. Jesus said something really important. He said, as a follower of me, I am the vine and you are the branch. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you can ask my Father whatever you want and he will give it to you. And then he said something really important. He said, these things I tell you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. There are things coming this year in people's lives that are going to fill you with joy like you've never known before, because God's going to call you to stretch out into areas of getting involved with what he wants us involved in. Maybe it's involvement in the ministry in the church. I know people in our church that never thought that they'd serve in children's church, but it's brought them alive because they're preparing every week to minister to those kids. I know people in our seniors ministry that we have to seniors every month. They've come alive as they're going and just giving of their time in Celebrate Recovery and the jail ministry. We've got all kinds of ways for people to get involved in this church, and maybe other ways too that God wants to tell you to do that. This year, oh God, give us clear vision in 2020 as far as who you are and what you want to do through my life. Amen? Amen? Amen. Coming year, it's going to be a great year. Pastor Samuel, would you come? He's got some thoughts to share with us this morning.
All right, thank you.
I love this guy. Thank you, Lord.
Good morning, church. So in the next couple of hours, we'll continue here with some ideas. I do have notes, as you can see. Praise the Lord. How many of you know that God has been faithful throughout this year? Now, how many of you want to see the hand of the Lord next year in your life? And we will, by God's grace. As I was praying and thinking about this morning and this weekend and just the end of the year, you know, it's an amazing thing that God gives us time. He gives us time. He gives us seasons, actually, as well, throughout a year. And I don't know why, but God established the year the way he did. And, you know, whether you are ready or not, the year is going by and we're about to start a fresh new year here. And, you know, when we look at a vision and what God is calling us to do, we got to remember he's got a plan for us. And I want to invite you to a Bible verse here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And just read out of this passage and see what God is calling us in regard to vision, how we are to follow through when we are asking for vision, and how we are to continue on through every circumstance. And I love this passage because it's right after the gallery of faith here in chapter 11. So we're going to go to Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. And in Hebrews 11, as you know, we see all the men and women and the prophets and the kings and people who serve God through faith, and by faith they became what God asked them to be. And then in verse 1 of chapter 12, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also, as part of that group also, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." So we are part of this kingdom, the kingdom of God, and we are part of this kingdom which is established by faith through the power of Jesus Christ. And as part of his people, God is calling us to run the race and to follow him. And he is the one who gave us the faith. He is the perfecter of our faith. And what we are to do is we are to set our eyes in Jesus to follow through. And you know, we pray for God that he will give us vision and understanding on what's coming ahead. We have no idea. We have no clue what's taking place. We know that God is asking us to follow him, to follow his word, to obey his commandments, to serve one another. We try to focus on what God is calling us to do. But, you know, as I think of this, to have vision is to look ahead and to consider the race before us. God, what are you calling me to do as a Christian? But in order for us to move ahead, we are called to live, as we see in these verses, to live aside or to throw aside or to renounce everything that could become a burden. Anything from a distraction to an obstruction in our spiritual Christian race. If we look at this verse, verse 1, since we have a great cloud of witness, let us also lay aside or throw aside or renounce to every weight and sin which clings so closely. So first of all, let's look at this laying aside here for a minute and see what God is telling us. Let us, you know, lay aside everything that is a hindrance in our life or anything that is holding us down. Few years ago, when I was 21, 22 years old, I was remembering yesterday, I used to work in Granby Ranch, the golf course over there. It used to be called Sol Vista, and I used to run heavy tractors and do ditches and pull wires and prepare everything for the golf course. And if you see in a golf course, there's always ponds and lakes throughout the holes, and that's for the water that is stored in order to water the grass and in the fairways and greens and all that. So our job was to prepare all those lines of water that will irrigate everything and then also do drains which bring the water back to the ponds, because you always overwater some of those areas. And I was digging a ditch for a drain, and it was a long ditch, a couple of thousand of feet. And there was a guy helping me with the laser, but at this point in time, we know we're just going downhill. And he says, "I don't have anything to do." He says, "Can I jump in that little John Deere backhoe and start from the pond up and dig my way so that we can meet the ditch?" And I said, "Well, sure, yeah, you can do that." I said, "Just make sure you don't fall in the water. You don't put that tractor in the water." "Oh, no, no, I got it," he said. So he went into the edge of the pond, and he wasn't so used to that tractor. Well, he just ran into the water. And this pond is a very deep pond and lake. And so he comes back. I wasn't seen, actually. He came back and he was all wet. And he said, "You're not going to believe it." And I said, "Don't tell me that. I'm going to be in big trouble today." Anyways, I went back to the pond and I can see the tip of the hole over the water. And the backhoe, the little tractor, is about 20 feet from the edge of the lake. So I thought, well, I'm going to grab this cable. I had a quarter inch cable, metal cable. I'm going to go down there and just hook the tractor, and I'm going to use my backhoe, the bigger backhoe, and just drag that machine out of the water. It's going to be fine. So I went there. It took me quite a few minutes. The water is about 35 degrees, feels like 35 degrees there. It's the month of September, and I finally got the cable going, and I'm pulling and pulling, and, you know, the tractor is in wet water and wet ground, so it's kind of dragging well. But as soon as we start going into dry land, it was kind of hard for that backhoe to pull the other tractor. And eventually, the cable just broke. And so when the cable broke, the tractor went down deeper into the lake. Now I couldn't even see the tractor. And I thought, I should have known this cable was not strong enough. So I went to the shop, and we got ourselves like 5 or 6 chains, you know. And I thought, this will hold it. So I got ready. And, you know, I'm naive. I'm thinking I'm going to be able to do this. I'm trying to do this without calling anybody. So I put myself a chain on my chest. You know, this is about 30 pounds, okay? And then I got another chain in my hand and then another one. And I said, I'm just going to go down there and I'm going to hook up the chain in the tractor and I'm going to pull it. So he says, are you sure you can do this? Oh, yeah, absolutely. I will do it. So I start going down, and in the bottom of this pond, it's just mud, 2 feet of mud. I'm sinking on the mud. And as I'm going down, I'm thinking, how am I going to be able to walk and to move and to accomplish all this? Well, as soon as I get to the water that was about my chest right here, I got so scared and I thought, what am I doing? I can't even move outside the water. And I'm trying to do it inside the water. So anyways, I got out and I gave up, and we called our boss, and somebody tried to do it again the next day. But finally, we had the firefighters come and get the tractor. And it took a guy with an oxygen tank an hour to find the tractor, okay? I was trying to do it without anything. But you know, the illustration there is, when something is holding us down, how can we accomplish anything? You know, when we are weighed by things in our lives, but by problems, and something is holding us, we won't be able to accomplish God's will. And as we look into the next year here in 2020, and we say, God, give me vision and allow me to see beyond the circumstances and beyond what's going on in front of my eyes. Allow me to walk freely into your will and to establish your kingdom in my life and in my family. But what are some of the things that really hold us down? What are those things that really keep us from doing God's will? Well, some of them are failures. We make mistakes. We have personal unfulfilled expectations. We disappoint people. We have regrets on what we did, and that holds us from doing what God wants us to do. And we gotta lay those things aside and say, Lord, I wanna follow you. I wanna run this race, and I wanna have vision, but I need to lay aside all my failures, my past mistakes, and everything that I made a mess of my life in this area. In Psalm 130, the Bible says, in verse 3 and 4, it says, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Who could stand? Who could be standing if you were marking every sin and every mistake we made? But with you, there is forgiveness that you may be feared. In God, there is forgiveness, and His mercies are new every morning. Amen? And every day, you know, as we continue in our path and we understand that we are in a new season or maybe a new year here, a new time in our lives, we are to ask the Lord, Lord, am I free? Am I walking without weight in my life? Am I laying aside all my failures and all my mistakes? And, you know, another thing is fears. We are sometimes bound by so much fear, fear of the future, what's going to happen with this or that or my life or this person, fear of leading as husbands and in our jobs, fear of responsibilities, fear of failure. What if I start something and I can't fulfill it again and make more mistakes? Fear of trusting the Lord. God, are you with me? Would you come through in this situation? And sometimes it's just fears, fears, fears. And everything that we're doing is managed and controlled or obstructed by fear. And we're not moving forward into the vision of the Lord. But we are to move forward, and we are to ask the Lord, God, am I leaving my fears aside? The Bible says in Hebrews, here in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, the second part of verse 5, it says, be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, with confidence, we say, The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? God is with us. He is leading us and guiding us. And sometimes we don't start anything because we're afraid. And that's not the way that God wants us to live. He has not given us a spirit of fear. Amen? But a spirit of power and self-control and righteousness. So we are to stand up and say, Lord, enable me to accomplish your will. I understand your will for my life is far beyond what I can imagine or can do in my own strength. But I know you're with me. And if you're with me, you will strengthen me to do your will. The Bible says in the book of Luke, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. So God is pleased to allow us to grow forward into his kingdom and in the vision that he is giving us. So, you know, failures and fears we are to lay aside. Another thing that we need to lay aside is offenses and unforgiveness in our lives. You know, a lot of people is held down by the weight of unforgiveness. How many of you throughout this past year have been offended? How many of you were disappointed with someone around your life? And you know, if you keep a record of all these things and every time you see this person, you are just grading them by what they did to you or you're always rehearsing these things, you're not going to grow. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, here again, Hebrews 12, chapter 12, verse 14, look what the word says, strive for peace with everyone. It's a striving, and then it says, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. There is a practical holiness, separation from the world that we need to live with. And that means laying aside anything that will bring enmity amongst us. Now, look in verse 15. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. There is a possibility of not attaining or obtaining or receiving the grace of God in your life. How come? Well, it says, the no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. So see to it that you are connected to God, you are depending on Him. How? In peace and in forgiveness, leaving every offense away, laying it aside. You know, God has called each of us to freedom. Are you aware of that? And when we look at the Word of God, we know that as we know the truth will set us free. And that's Jesus Christ. But also the Bible says that we are to stand up in that freedom. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, for freedom Christ has set us free. So He already set us free. But then He says, stand firm therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So if you are free and God has given you the ability to walk in freedom, don't go back to rehearse and live in the pain of the past. Ask God for wisdom to lay aside any unforgiveness, any pain, any bitterness, anything that is holding you down, any resentment of something that happened in your life. And this is something that, you know, as I was thinking in my own personal life, I was thinking, Lord, how can I run freely to do your will with endurance, to obey your call? It is our call to follow God's will and direction for our life. And in order to get there, we must lay every way aside. Leave it aside. And then the other thing that we see here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, not only lay aside every weight, but every sin which clings so closely. So as we move forward in this next year, you know, let's make a resolution. Let's understand that God wants us to lay aside sin, and it says that entangles us easily. Sin that clings closely is something that traps us and wraps us and holds us down from doing the will of the Lord. And you know, we know as Christians that God is a forgiving God. He's merciful. He will not pay us according to our iniquities. There is forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, I have written these things to you so that you will not sin. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. But it says, you shouldn't sin. But if you sin, we have an intercessor. We have Christ who is interceding for us in the right side of the Father. Yet, as we sin, and if we dwell in sin, we know that sin holds us down. And the potential that God is giving us to fulfill His purpose is shortened. It's just God. So we have to lay aside any sin that is clinging so close to our lives and holding us down. In the book of Romans, chapter 13, and look at this verse, you know, talking about our call. Romans chapter 13, verse 12. Look at the Bible here in regard to vision and moving on and laying things aside. It says, chapter 13, verse 12, it says, "The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness." So we are in this race and we understand that the night is gone. Jesus is coming. How many of you know that Jesus is coming? And we need to put our eyes in Him and understand, you know, He will be manifested. And as we look into this, the day is at hand. So let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime. Let us be what God is calling us to be, not in orgies, not in drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or sensuality, not in quarreling or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Don't be making yourself someone that is being held by sin in your life. In fact, don't even make any provision for that flesh. Lay everything aside. There is a real struggle in us as I look into the Bible in my own life to hide our weaknesses, to cover up our sin, and sometimes even to maintain it, to keep it as long as it's unnoticeable, as long as He's not keeping us or getting us in deeper trouble. You know, it's okay. I don't have that much of a problem with sin. You know, I got a little bit of, but you know, this is nothing. I mean, I can quit at any time. No. Lay aside every sin that is holding you down and follow the Lord with endurance into this following year and ask Him, "Lord, what are you calling me to do?" In the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, and on, I want to invite you there as well this morning. We look at these passages and it's just calling us how as Christians we are to be laying things aside or casting things off from us or sometimes just killing things or desires in our lives. In verse 5 it says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you." Put it to death. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil, desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Put these things to death. Don't toy with them. Don't maintain them. Don't keep them. Don't put them under the rug. Just come to Jesus and bring Him to Him and say, "Lord, I want to put these things to death in my life." Now in verse 6 it says, "On account of these things the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away." Cast them away. Put them all away. "Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices." So we are called to lay things aside. And some of these things are just weight in our lives, and some of them are just sin that is holding us from doing the Lord, the will of the Lord. So we are to have clear vision. And in order for us to do that, we need to lay some things aside. Stop doing what God is not calling you to do. Quit it. Don't spend any time in it. And don't invest any effort in the things that God is not calling you to do. Now, going back to Hebrews chapter 12. Let's continue here. And look at the second part of my message this morning, of what I'm sharing here, my thoughts, my ideas. It says, "Let us also lay aside every weight." We have the witnesses. Jesus is our main leader. And then it says, "Also lay aside sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And I was thinking, Lord, I am called to run, to go forth into what you are calling me. But as I look at this verse, I see that there is a race that is already set before me. Christ is setting this race before me. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, it says that God, prior to that, it says that God called us by grace, not by works. But then it says in verse 10, it says, "To do the works that He prepared beforehand for us to do." So God has set a race, a road, a wheel for us in which we are to walk. So sometimes, you know, when we talk about vision and we say, well, there's a new year coming, What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to come up with? You know, what's going to be your idea of this? You know, we try to come up with ideas or do things that really God is not calling us to do. And what we need to understand is, what is God calling me to do? What's His will for my life? He already established a way for me. And you know, when you look at the Bible is a big book. Amen? 66 books there. But you know, if you learn to see the Bible, there is, Doug mentioned this last night, but actually in the Bible, you know, we have clear commandments, simple commandments, and sometimes we try to make them difficult to understand, but it's really simple. You know, go on, make disciples, baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ, and teach them to obey everything that I have shown you. And when we look at the Bible in simple ways, there is a way and a road that we're supposed to follow. God is calling us to do and to run the race that He's already setting before us. And I want to just share a couple of, well, not couple, you know, a couple dozens. Few verses here in regard to this and trusting ourselves to the Lord to run the race that is already before us, that He's establishing. And one of them is in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. And this is a very known passage of Scripture. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths." As we go on in our Christian walk, we need to trust in God. And we need to say, "Lord, here I am, and I know You have a plan for me. And I do not want to lean on my own understanding, thinking I understand what I'm supposed to be doing, but I want to do Your will and not my will." And then it says, "In all your ways, acknowledge Him." So how do we do that? We bring every situation before the presence of the Lord. We pray through every situation, every project, everything we want to start. We say, "God, what do You want me to do in this area, with this money, with my time, in this trip that I'm taking here?" And as we do this, there's a promise in this verse, verse 6. He will make straight your paths. See, when we are coming before the presence of the Lord, and we understand He has designed us with a purpose, and yes, we're weak, we make mistakes, but we see that God has a plan for us, and we come to Him and trust Him, He will define our purpose and He will guide us through every situation and every circumstance in our life. And think about this. If God is with us, He will take us forward. Amen? If He is in our life and we are close to Him, and yes, He knows that we are naive and we're ignorant in some ways, but if we come to Him and say, "God, open my eyes. Open my eyes to understand Your will." In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1 and 3, look at this next passage. It says, "The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes." Sometimes we are, you know, we think everything we want to do is right, but not really. Not really. There are some things that God knows that we're just going to invest in vain, waste time, waste money. And God says, "Don't go there." And then He says, "But the Lord weighs the spirit." And then He says, "Commit your work to the Lord. Commit your work to the Lord, and He will, and your plans will be established." Lord, here is my life. Here is my resources. Here is my future, my time, and everything that I have. Lord, will You use it for Your kingdom? Will You establish it according to Your will? And you know, it's something amazing when we surrender something to the Lord. You know this. Whether it's time or money, whether it's family, your space, when you surrender something to the Lord, God will make it flourish. God will make it flourish. The Bible says in Psalm 127, verse 1 and 2, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." So as we look at this, you know, God is the one who allows us to be productive, to be fruitful. And if He's building a house, then it's going to be established. Now, if He's not in the house, we put a foundation, we put walls, we start building, we start doing something. But God says, "That's not my will for you, son. You're going on your own strength. This is not..." And as Doug was saying, don't do things that are worthless. Sometimes worthless we think is anything that is evil. But sometimes worthless is something that is not meaningful in regard to the kingdom of God. Something that is not going to be fruitful for the kingdom of God or our personal or spiritual walk. So we need to say, "God, I don't want to be active for the sake of being active. I want to be productive in Your purpose, Lord. in your definement, in your design to my life. And then it says, in the second part of Psalm 127, verse 1, it says, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. See, when God is building something, He will establish it to the point that He will protect what we are already producing. Unless He watches over the city, and that really is protection, the watchman stays awake in vain. So let us come to the Lord and say, Lord, what we have accomplished in regard to ministry, to kingdom, to what You are calling us, Lord, establish my job, my household, my family. Lord, protect what we have already accomplished by Your grace. And then it says, it is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives to His beloved sleep. And really, He gives everything to His beloved. Amen. Separated from the hand of God, we're nothing. But as I look at this verse, you know, this is satisfaction. There's nothing more valuable for us as Christians in this world to be satisfied in Christ. In whatever we do, wherever we go, whatever we are, you know, whether we have or have not much, you know, when we are satisfied by God, there is joy and peace and faith, and we're moving forward into His kingdom. So as we look into this, remember, we are invested in matters of eternal life. Amen. We are not just living life here and trying to have some toys and you know, have a name for ourselves. No, we are investing for the kingdom of heaven. And the reason we are here is because there is people around us, family around us, friends and brothers and sisters who need to know more of Christ and who need to be establishing the kingdom of God. And as we follow God and run this race that He's establishing for us, let us trust Him and let us say, Lord, You have given me everything that I need for life and godliness. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians 1:3, it says that He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And sometimes I look at that verse and think, Lord, what does that mean for me? How does that take place in this world in which I am right now, in these circumstances in which I am? And in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, it says, what then shall we say of these things, or to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I mean, if God is in the things in which we are doing or starting or projects or jobs or work or ministry, if He's with us, who can be against us? So as we start this year and finish this time and thank God for everything He's done in our lives, we want to say, Lord, are You with me? Are You in me? Am I really building in Your kingdom? Am I establishing things according to Your purpose? And then lastly here, as we look into verse 2, as we do these things and run the race and lay aside and also entrust ourselves to the Lord, look at verse 2 now in Hebrews 12:2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. We set our eyes on Him and we look at Him and say, thank You, Lord, for everything You are to me. You are the one who gave me the ability to believe and to trust You. And You are the one who will give me the strength to be perfected in faith. And then it says, who for the joy that was set before Him, with joy, with love, He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And as we think of this illustration, He's there for us so that we remember He's interceding for us. And He's with us. And as we look at Him, you know, don't set your eyes on the circumstances of this world, but actually set your eyes on Jesus. Focus on Him. Jesus gave it all. He gave it all for us. And we're going to walk into communion here in a minute, but as I was thinking of this, you know, what a great way to finish the year by partaking of the bread together and the cup and remembering what He did for us. He gave it all. He surrendered everything for us. And His suffering was the expression of love for us. And that expression of love, as we see in this passage, that commitment was with joy. He expressed His love and His suffering with joy. He went to the cross joyfully of what He was doing and accomplishing in our lives. And you know, as we go on, if we focus on Jesus and in everything we do, let's ask God for that joy to be in us. You know, what a graceful thing when we as Christians are thankful, joyful, with peace and love. And we say, you know, God is with me. And He is leading me through every way. And this morning, you know, as we do the same thing, we're focusing on Him. He is our example. Our call is to run that race with endurance, the same endurance that Jesus had. Now, every time we come to communion, this is a great opportunity to check our hearts. And remember, we are in a new covenant, the covenant of grace in which Christ died for us. He paid it all. He surrendered everything. But as we come to the table too, we got to remember, are we in that covenant? And are we walking in freedom? Are we asking for forgiveness? Are we a new creation? Are we taking seriously the gift of Christ in the cross and our commitment to Him right now? As we take the bread and we take the cup, we need to realize what this means for us. What an important step for Christianity every time we take communion. And we're proclaiming that He's coming back again for us. Amen? We're proclaiming that we're waiting for Him. And we're waiting for Him as we run the race that He set before us. So let us just, as the worship team comes, let us bow our heads down for a minute here and pray to the Lord and ask Him for direction in every way and entrust Him and say, Lord, I want to lay aside anything in my life that is an obstruction or a distraction to follow You. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning. We honor You. We give You praise, Lord, for everything You're doing in our midst. And Lord, what a beautiful thing to see Your church, Lord, Your congregation, to see us, Lord, entrusting ourselves to You and coming, gathering, Lord, together to give You praise, to learn from Your word, to grow with one another, Lord. What a beautiful blessing we have. Lord, as we look at this passage and you know, the video that we saw, Lord, and the people that came to You, Lord, there are only certain things that will pass the test of fire, Lord, as we look in Your word. And in fact, the Bible says that we are to focus our eyes in things that are eternal, in things that we're not able to see, because those are the things that are lasting for eternity, Lord. So often we've spent time in places or areas where we shouldn't. So often, Lord, we live our lives, Lord, bound by the personal circumstances that we have around us, Lord. So often, Lord, we look back and we say, how can I stand up and continue when everybody knows my failures? Everybody knows what I've done. Everybody knows that I don't accomplish anything. But Lord, we see that in You there is forgiveness. There is hope. There is newness of life. There is strength, Lord, for the one that is weary, Lord. There is grace, Lord, to come and lay everything down, Lord, and find the rest that You have for us. Come to Me, You have said. Everyone who is labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We want to come before Your presence. And we want to rest in the sacrifice of Your cross, Lord. You paid it all for us. You gave it all. And Lord, as we do this, Lord, we ask for forgiveness for not trusting You. We ask for forgiveness for not moving forward in some areas, Lord. We want to walk this race with endurance. And Jesus Christ, thank You for dying on the cross for us. Thank You. Give us a genuine heart to follow strong after You, Lord. And as we approach the table this morning, Lord, we want to be sincere in everything we do, Lord. And as we come before Your presence, we want to commit our lives to You, our time to You, our resources to You, our families to You, Lord. Do in us as You please, in Your precious mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.